This episode was created with the support of Free FM, Hamilton, New Zealand's community access media organisation. Visit us at freefm.org.nz.
Om Sadam to our listeners. Welcome to Saturday News number 1126. And today we'll be hearing the final part two of the talk that was given by Satyajit at the World Conference in Riverside, California. So let's get straight into it.
And as he was looking there, and as he went inside again into the bathroom and he was combing his hair, I had a pang. It was like such a deep pang. I said that, Swami, why did I come so late, Swami? Enduku inta late vachanu? Where was I all these years? Sorry. Where was I all these years? Why did I come so late? Ye samayanki vachavo, adi correct aina samayam. The time that you have come to me at, that's the right time. Swami kurupistunna anandanni anubhavinchu. Swami kurupistunna anugrahanni anubhavinchu anandinchu. He said the anugraha, the grace that Swami is showering on you, experience it and enjoy it and derive ananda. These were his words, the most beautiful. Don't think at what time did you come, why did I come late, why did I come early, why did I not know. Many of the young adults say that, oh, I never had Swami's darshan, I know I came so late to Swami, all these things. You know, Mr. Ratan Tata, he had said, you know, when he was looking at the discourse of Swami for the first time on his 85th birthday, he was listening to Swami and said that, oh, he's speaking with so much power. Oh, I have come so late to Baba. I have come so late to Baba. Right? Mr. Ratan Tata, in the Books and Publication Trust, he's preparing for the launch of Vidyavahini the following day. Mr. Ratan Tata is overseeing the preparations and he's watching the video that will be played on the stage. Right, and the TCS team is standing there. You know, the chief of the TCS team got so nervous he could not speak to Mr. Tata. The others took over and started communicating about this. And Mr. Tata is watching this video and saying that I came so late to Swami. That was my thing also. You know, 15 years back, it was my agony saying that, Swami, why did I come so late? Chaptan, chustan, ik chupistan, la chupistanu. He said that I will show you. Like a screen, I will show you, he said. He did something more beautiful for me later on. And it was a year later that I got a partial answer to this question as to where was I, why was I not, where was I earlier? And he said, Shirdi lo unnao. He told, you were in Shirdi. So when in Kodaikanal, one day I was, it was late in the night, in the midnight, I was lying on the floor. Swami, you know, was sleeping on the bed. Kodaikanal is quite cold, so you know he'll cover everything. His head will be covered. Just the face will be open, and he will be cuddled. I was lying there. I had a dream, and in the dream I saw Shirdi Baba seated in a room, and my point of view is from behind a curtain. From behind the curtain, I can see Shirdi Baba seated there. His headband was there, but that jubba he had taken off. Right? And as I was seeing it, that without the jubba, I can see that there are blisters on his back. The entire back is covered with blisters. And there is one devotee who is dipping some cloth in the water and wiping Swami's, Shirdi Baba's back with that cloth. And there was a strong smell of a disinfectant. You know, it's called Dettol in India. That smell. And I just saw that. And I was behind, I realized that I'm a lady, I'm a woman, and I'm behind the curtain, feeling like the agony, saying that, Swami, just because I'm a woman, I'm not able to serve you, Swami, right? Why are you so partial to men, right? That agony, saying that, why am I not able to serve you, right? That agony of the woman. And I was there. Dream got over. I opened my eyes. The smell of Dettol is still so strong. I actually, the next morning, I went down and asked the gentleman who was in charge. I said, "Sir, did some bottle of Dettol or something break? We could smell upstairs." It was so intense. I was thinking that probably because there was a Dettol thing, and the mind makes up dreams, right? Because there is some fragrance coming in, and the mind builds up things. There was no, Satyajit, there was no this thing. And I remember when I was looking, when I just woke up, I opened my eyes, and I was again. I looked at Swami. Swami's hand. From the blanket, he removes the blanket. His little hand comes out. It does this, and again it goes back. Like, I'll never forget. These images are so endearing, so beautiful. That this was 97, and I was still again a student and going through the intense grilling process. This was the time when Swami had threatened to send me away, throw me out. So that sending the threat of being kicked out is always hanging like the Damocles sword on the heads of students. So don't worry, so right, Arvind. So this was because in Kodaikanal, my duty was that when Swami is having his dinner, I was supposed to quickly gobble something from inside. Mrs. Ratanlal would give me a plate. I would gobble and then rush up, change into kurta, and go into Swami's room. And then Swami would finish the dinner with all the other boys and then come up and go inside and come inside. Again, he doesn't want the boys to keep seeing, Satyajit is being given the preference of being inside. So I need to be inside before the boys come up. That day, as usual, I had gobbled up quickly, ran up, changed. And by the time I came out, I could hear boys talking. Boys never talk. In Kodaikanal, boys never talk because, it's only Swami's voice that is heard. And I heard boys talking. Then when I came out of the bathroom, I saw all the boys on the upper story. I got shocked because that means Swami had already come up and gone inside the room and I am still outside. The door opened. And all the boys, "Oh, Swami has come again. Hey." With my tail tucked between my legs, I slinked in and went inside. "Niku kou chala ekura, you got too much of ego." Right, let me not go into literal translation of kou. Kou is a beautiful word that he uses. I think you should figure out that translation on your own. But it means ego. It's a very colorful word that Swami used. He said, "Niku chala ego, ahankaram chala ekku ayindi niku. Nu baita pampistanu. You have got too much of ego. I'll throw you out." I told, no Swami, please. Tomorrow morning I'm going to book your tickets and send you away. I told, "No Swami, please Swami, don't." I was literally, in tears. I was really worried at that point of time. But at the same time, somehow I knew that it was not such a big mistake. I mean, I had not delayed myself. I had come. I don't know where I got the courage. The following day, I had this statement to make to Swami. And I said, "Swami, ninna Swami kopadnapudu, nakanta bhayam kaled Swami." I told Swami, "Yesterday when you were shouting at me, I was not so afraid. I'm telling this to Swami." And Swami is telling, right? And Swami is telling me, "Kani baga edchave." He's telling me, but you cried, no? But you cried so well, right? Right? So see that relationship, that for me, that was the moment that daiva bhiti got converted into daiva priti. Till then, we are always afraid of God. Right? God is a terrorizing figure because we are filled with negativity. We are filled with papa. So we are projecting that fear is, you're supposed to fear sin, but we are projecting the fear to God. And we are hiding from God. We are hiding our secrets from that pure source. And that got converted into daiva priti for me. But still, for me, that answer was partial. That, as to who was I, was a partial answer. Why did I come late? Now, this is something that I have not shared so far in any of my speeches over the last 15 years. I'm only sharing now because over the last 3 months, I've got so much of clarity about these things. All because I've started more and more meditation. There's been a beautiful mornings that sadhana has deepened over these last 3 years. The sadhana has deepened a lot. I've moved from the karma marga to the jnana marga part. That joy of finding the breath, this joy of sitting and watching the sunrise early every morning, you know, by Swami's grace, there's a beautiful 8-story house in Gurgaon, in what is supposed to be a very polluted place in Delhi. I love that. For me, that has become my Prashanti Nilayam. Every morning I crave to go and sit, on my yoga mat in the balcony, looking at the sunrise and doing the breathing. And when I see that place, for me, Gurgaon, which is actually supposed to be Gurugram, right? It is Gurugram. That was the place which was given to Dronacharya by Dhritarashtra. Right, and Bhishma had ensured that town is given to the Guru Dronacharya, who was the guru of all the Pandavas and the Kauravas. That's the place. It's called Gurugram, the village of the Guru. And to me, that place has become so evocative, as if, you know, it evokes memories of, like, as if it evokes memories of the past. That's all because in way back in 1998 or 1999, Swami was seated amongst some of my classmates. Three or four of them had come to Vrindavan. It was again in the Vrindavan thing. He had never told me, but to them, he is telling me, "Hey, Nik Telsuna, do you know who this guy was earlier? He was Satyaki, right? His name is Satyaki. Satyaki was a warrior during Krishna's time. And he was part of Krishna's clan. And Swami gave told that he was Satyaki. I was surprised. Swami is telling to others that about me, he has not yet. I was like, "Swami, we have not had a discussion about this. Why these others?" Right? That was my first reaction. And you know, and he was talking to these boys. He was like a shadow with Krishna. He was always like a shadow with Krishna. The only detail he had given at that point of time is that after the war, after the Kurukshetra war, when Pandavas won, and Yudhishthira was coronated as the king, Arjuna had the responsibility of being the commander in chief, and he had martial responsibilities, and he stayed on in Hastinapura, and Krishna went back. Who do you think was with Krishna after that for the next 36 years? Who do you think was with Krishna? It was Satyaki, right? He's establishing. This was my first year with Swami, when I was there, and he's setting a context saying this is not the duty that you have. Over the next 13 years, I didn't know at that point of time, he's established, not now, it is 5,000-year-old duty. You're just continuing that duty. That I am Satyaki. That you were there as a companion for 36 years all through. For me, that was not the biggest thing. I had read the Mahabharata and I knew, for me, the question that came at that point of time, young mind, right, was that, what am I doing here still after 5,000 years? Right? The question is always about liberation. I mean, 5,000 years and I'm still here. And then what do you always do? What did I do wrong? What have I done? What sin have I committed? Because of which, even after 5,000 years, that became my obsession. And then I would, keep reading up. I used to go to the internet and keep searching at that point of time, a little bit. Internet was not that easily accessible. I don't think internet was accessible. I had taken books of Ramayana books, Mahabharata books of Kamala Subramaniam's book of Mahabharata, and I was reading, scouring through who is Satyaki and this and that. And I realized that Satyaki is the one who makes the first hit on that after 36 years when the entire entire Yadava clan, the Krishna's entire clan is destroyed. They fight amongst themselves and they are destroyed. Satyaki is the one who first kills Kritavarma, the other king. For me, that became the fear, saying that, Swami, is it because of that I am still here for 5,000 years? See the complications of the human mind. And for days together, I used to pester Swami with questions now. Right? That became, every time I get a chance, I ask about this, I ask about that. Swami saw that I'm obsessed with this question. He said that, do you think anybody with him would do an action without Krishna's direct approval? Krishnur Chappakunda Yemana Chestada. That gave me so much of peace, right? Saying that, okay, this is all a divine drama. This is all a divine drama. All the bloodshed, all the whether he is tossing and turning, having Ravana's blood on him. That was right for that age. Whether it is the massacre that happened during the Mahabharata war, or the massacre that happened during the Yadava clan cleansing, was a different was right at that point of time, and it started making sense how this prema avatara, this avatar that has come, has, you know, he used to say in the Ramayana, the enemy was in a different country, right? You know this thing. So Ravana had to go all the way to Lanka and destroy the enemy. In the Mahabharata, it was all within the family. Within the family, there were things. But now, the enemies are inside. The Arishad Vargas, both of you spoke about the Arishad Vargas, the six cardinal sins. The enemies are inside. The fight of the Satyasai avatar is all internal. There is no cleansing that is external. The cleansing is all internal. Right? And for me, this became a meditation, a constant meditation. But what has happened over the last few years, as I've, you know, I had forgotten about this. You know, this was not a big memory in my mind I thought about it, I had closed the chapter. But 4 years back, as I was about to go to Bangkok, right, we were, I had resigned from my post in Karkinos. It was a cancer care work that I was working. But when I had got an opportunity to work again in education, to start a school in Bangkok, so I had accepted that. And I had about a month to go to Bangkok as a family. But I said that before I go, let me go to two or three inspiring places that I had used to visit during Vidyavahini. And I was doing so. I was about to go to Himachal Pradesh. There's a beautiful school in Himachal. And I was planning to go there. The following morning was my, early morning was my flight. And the previous evening, there was a power outage at home. So I realized that if I don't sleep in the night, then it'll be a challenge. So we went, took a hotel near the airport, and all night I was watching planes land and take off. It was a beautiful night that I spent there. And as I was sitting there, I had a very fitful sleep. I was waiting for the morning to come. And as I dozed off, I had one of the most loud shouts in my ears of Swami. Right? You know, his voice on my left ear, I still clearly remember. Lay Satyaki, lay, Satyaki, lay. You know, like loud, you know, get up, wake, awake, Satyaki, awake, Satyaki, awake. This was the call, and I got up. And I had decided that I will not be part of any of the nonsense that was happening at that point of time. Right? And I said that, Swami, let me be in peace. Right? And all of a sudden, he wakes up, lay Satyaki, lay, Satyaki, lay. And why is he calling me with that name? Why has he woken me up at that point? So this was my dilemma. I didn't know what it was. But as the days passed by, visions started emerging very clearly. So what I have realized, many, many brothers, younger brothers keep asking this question. What is the difference between the mind and the intellect or the atma that comes in? I have realized that when the mind creates something, it creates it line by line. It starts embellishing. It starts, you know, it's either through words or through images. It slowly keeps building up, and you have to keep building it like an artist. You have to keep doing that. But when a vision comes, it's like what is told. It's the whole image is there. Not just the vision, but the feeling, the sensation, the smell, everything is there. It is like that, like a memory that was forgotten. It has just come in, and these kinds of things started happening to me. For me, the relationship with Krishna, of Satyaki's relationship with Krishna, and you know, it is the first person experience, is something that I've never read. You always think of Krishna as the one who gives the speech, or the one who is the Gopika with the Gopikas, who is in the Rasalila mode, or in the teacher mode, right? The visions that I keep getting is Krishna the warrior, Krishna, you know, wrestling with Krishna, practicing sword fighting with Krishna. But the image that is most established in my mind is that of sitting on a hill. Krishna is lying on my lap, lying on Satyaki's lap, and both of them are laughing. It's almost beyond. Just sun has just set. It's on a hill, and from a distance we can see lanterns, lamps of an entire army, And then that's when both of us are laughing, both Krishna and Satyaki are laughing, and they are seeing Jarasandha's army. Jarasandha was the king who was attacking Krishna, and Krishna had run away from the battle 17 times, right? He would do the guerrilla warfare kind of a thing, because this was a huge king, a huge kingdom that would attack Mathura, because Kamsa was killed by Krishna. And this was, so this incident, this image keeps coming, and that feeling of Krishna on the lap, and both Krishna and Satyaki laugh at that oaf. Oaf is the word that keeps coming in my mind. That oaf, Jarasandha, who is trying to desperately search for Krishna and is unable to find. This image of Krishna, right? These last few days, you know, and that has excited me to be so restart yoga again. You suddenly start feeling that, okay, you're not this body. The idea, that's the point that I'm talking about, that we are not, we have to come out of this persistent vision that we are just this body, that we were born 20, 50, 70 years back, and that we are continuing the existence of only this lifetime. What Swami has consistently told us is that we are perennial, eternal beings, that we are not bound in place, we are not bound in time. We are not bound by history. We are not bound by geography, right? That infinity is what emerges. Why did Swami activate the Satyaki element in the mind? Why do I derive my freedom from just that one element? Why not other aspects, other beings, part of my existence? What stops me from doing that? What stops you all from tapping into the consciousness of others? Because the persistence of the mind keeps on telling that no, you are Satyajit only. You are Arvind only, right? You only have, we have only this experience, and this is the only true reality. And that's what Swami is trying to hit. And that's what we need to transform from that 100 to 1 infinity, Sai infinity. That logo is so beautiful that we are not bound. Swami is not bound by that 100 years. We are not bound by our 30, 40, 50, 100, 50, 70 years. We are not bound by this. I think that is what he has come to give us. He has come to give us the freedom. And you know, that again, I'll urge again here what I had urged in the Poconos Mountains. Read the 31st May 1991 discourse. Listen to that powerfully, because when he speaks about the Hiranyagarbha, now the Hiranyagarbha that we saw yesterday, when he had actually materialized in 1991, not the Lingodbhavam, but he had materialized in the summer course when we had materialized the Hiranyagarbha, he is the eternal being. He says, I am the source of all creation. I am the source of the Big Bang. That's the master, and we should not be limiting him to 100. I was talking to young adults yesterday. You know, they were grilling me till 10 in the night. They had a million questions. I enjoyed interacting with them. And as we were discussing, this question kept coming persistently, and saying that, you know, how do we, you know, there is lack of confidence, there are so many challenges that we are facing, and we feel that we don't have the courage to finish, to complete things, or we don't have the ability, etc. All abilities, all the infinite abilities in the world are within our grasp. It is only the mind that says that, okay, I am only this graduate, or I have got only this educational qualification, I have only that, I have this limitation. The mind only puts limits. Because the mind can only understand limits. The unlimited cannot be understood by the mind. The mind has to be calmed down. We have, for me, the best thing that has happened was the Soham Mantra. And that's the morning breathing. Just sitting, watching the sunrise, you know, even from the hotel room, there's a beautiful California sunrise that I can see behind a few trees. And that gives me bliss. The infinity, the gap in the teeth, that we spoke about, the empty hall, the lull after the birthday, that can only be filled by the joy or the bliss of eternity, right? Otherwise, post 100, now then we are again going back to singing, okay, what now? What now? But there is eternity in front of us. There is a green field in front of us. We can create from our source. Look at that discourse. See the words that Swami uses. Sorry? 31st of May 1991. One of the most powerful discourses that Swami had spoken about. I spent, you know, thanks to the Region 1, I remember sitting in one room and, you know, listening to that discourse at least 100 times. I kept on listening to that, because that just captured me. Because that thing of the Hiranyagarbha had captured me. Right? He says that you need to go from the Vairaja Sutta, which is that we are this physical entity, we are just this five elements. We need to go beyond, come to the prana, saying that we are not just this flesh and blood, we are the pranic force. Come further down, release from the pranic force, say that you are just the Sakshibhuti, Sakshibhutam. That means you are just the eternal witness, just the witness. And when you do that breathing, when you sit and do that, unless we do our sadhana, unless we do our omkaram, is not the chanting of 21 omkaras. Omkaram is the regulation of the breath. Is the peace. I remember chanting the Suprabhatam in one of the speeches. The way the Suprabhatam is chanted in Puttaparthi, that old lady who used to chant, Ishwaramba Suta Sriman Purva Sandhya Pravartate. You can go to sleep, right? At that pace, early morning when you're... And for me, I had listened to the Suprabhatam in Puttaparthi only once. You know when? After that 4 o'clock, after that night drama of Ravanasura thing, after Swami peacefully explained till 5 o'clock, he was telling me the story of Ravanasura. Then finally Swami said, okay, I'll rest now. 5 o'clock Swami went to bed. I said, Swami, I'll go for Suprabhatam and come. That was the only time. From Yajur Mandir I came the wrong direction, went to Mandir, sat and listened to the Suprabhatam. And to me that memory is beautiful. Right? And dear brothers and sisters, I think the euphoria of 100 can only be increased manifold by the euphoria of the infinity. I think that's the message that I thought we should all reflect upon. Jai Sai Ram.
Om Sai Ram. I hope you enjoyed the talk. As you know, this talk was given on the 24th of December 2025 during Swami's 100th birthday in Riverside, California. Sai Ram to you all.
This Free FM podcast was brought to you with support from New Zealand On Air.